Welcome back to the Crypto Daily. Today we're diving into the fascinating world of prediction markets, specifically Polymarket's explosive growth during this election cycle.
It's a compelling case study. Polymarket's $3.2 billion in total bets dwarfs traditional platforms like Kalshi and Predictit. This points to a significant appetite for decentralized prediction markets within the crypto community.
Absolutely. That 47-fold increase in trade volume since the 2020 election is staggering. It seems the allure of a 24/7, globally accessible, and cost-effective platform is resonating.
And the fact it's built on Polygon, leveraging Ethereum's security while offering faster, cheaper transactions, adds to its appeal. It's a testament to the power of Layer 2 solutions.
But it's not all smooth sailing. Polymarket's legal standing in the U.S. remains precarious after the CFTC fine, and the allegations of wash trading, even with their transparency argument, raise concerns.
The whale trader betting heavily on Trump also adds another layer of complexity. Is it simply a conviction bet or an attempt at market manipulation? The lines blur in this decentralized space.
The potential for a Polymarket token adds intrigue. It could further fuel growth, but also raises questions about its regulatory implications. It's a delicate balancing act.
Indeed, Polymarket's future hinges on navigating these regulatory hurdles, especially in the U.S. The next administration's stance on crypto will be crucial for its long-term viability.
Shifting gears to Nigeria, a nation experiencing a turbulent relationship with crypto. From a near-total ban to becoming a P2P powerhouse, it's a fascinating case study.
Absolutely. The CBN's initial crackdown inadvertently fueled the very thing they sought to suppress. Nigerians, resourceful as ever, turned to P2P platforms, especially Binance, bypassing traditional banking systems.
And the irony is palpable. The government later reversed the ban, recognizing the potential of crypto, only to crack down again, citing concerns over currency manipulation and unregistered exchanges.
The $10 billion fine levied against Binance feels almost like a ransom demand. It underscores the tension between embracing innovation and maintaining control.
The delisting of the Naira from P2P platforms further complicates matters. While aiming to protect the currency, it may simply drive trading further underground.
It's a game of whack-a-mole. Shut down one avenue and another pops up. The resilience of the Nigerian crypto community is remarkable. They're trading on Telegram, WhatsApp, even in coffee shops.
This highlights the limitations of centralized control in a decentralized world. The government's attempts to regulate are constantly met with creative workarounds.
And the licensing of 7 crypto operators under the ARIP program adds another layer of complexity. It's a step towards regulation, but how effective will it be in this dynamic environment?
It's a delicate balancing act. Nigeria's crypto future hinges on finding a regulatory framework that fosters innovation while mitigating risks. It's a story that will continue to unfold in the coming years. Moving on to the intersection of AI, decentralized communities, and venture capital in the Web3 space. We've seen platforms like AngelList and Crunchbase, but what's emerging now is quite different.
Exactly. We're talking about platforms like Web300, leveraging AI and community input to match Web3 startups with ideal VCs. It's not just a list. It's a dynamic, evolving ecosystem of information.
And it addresses a key pain point for Web3 startups: finding investors who understand the nuances of blockchain, dApps, and the broader crypto landscape. It's a niche within a niche.
And the scoring system is fascinating. They're ranking VCs based on criteria like social media presence, investment history, and support for the decentralized ecosystem. It's bringing a level of transparency we haven't seen before.
It's almost like a Forbes 500 for the Web3 VC world. But the real magic is the combination of centralized AI with decentralized wisdom. The community adds the human element, the real-world experiences that AI can't capture.
It's crowdsourced due diligence, essentially. And that's crucial in an industry where reputation is everything. It helps startups avoid bad actors and connect with investors who are genuinely aligned with their vision.
It's a powerful example of how AI and decentralization can work together to empower entrepreneurs and drive innovation in the Web3 space. A compelling development to watch. So, stepping away from the VC world, we've got some interesting developments in the tokenization of traditional assets, SWIFT, UBS, and Chainlink are piloting a system for tokenized fund settlement using SWIFT's existing infrastructure. Big news.
Hugely significant. This isn't about creating a parallel blockchain-based system. It's about integrating tokenized assets into the existing financial plumbing. That's the key to real-world adoption.
Exactly. It tackles the inefficiencies of traditional fund transactions, like slow settlements and manual processes, without requiring everyone to jump onto a new blockchain.
And Chainlink's involvement is critical. Their Oracle network provides the secure bridge between the traditional and tokenized worlds. This pilot aligns perfectly with Sergey Nazarov's recent comments at Sibos about blockchain integration with SWIFT.
Meanwhile, Bitfinity is making waves with its cross-chain Bitcoin Runes integration and connection to the Internet Computer Protocol. It's a different angle, but equally important for the future of DeFi.
Absolutely. Bitfinity's approach, using an EVM-based platform and threshold signatures, allows Bitcoin assets to interact seamlessly within an Ethereum-compatible ecosystem. It's opening up new possibilities for decentralized finance, particularly with the integration of runes.
And their BitGems platform is an interesting twist, gamifying the user experience and driving community engagement. It's a clever way to onboard new users into the DeFi space.
It's all about accessibility. Making these complex technologies more user-friendly is crucial for mass adoption. Both of these developments, the tokenized fund settlement and the cross-chain Bitcoin integration, point towards a future where traditional finance and DeFi are increasingly intertwined.
So moving on, DeFi Technologies subsidiary Valour has just launched the world's first physically backed yield-bearing Bitcoin ETP on Zetra. This is a pretty big deal, right?
Huge. It's a significant step towards bridging the gap between traditional finance and DeFi. A 1.4% initial fixed yield paid out in Bitcoin while holding the underlying asset is a compelling offer for institutional investors, especially in the regulated environment of Zetra.
It's interesting that they're partnering with Core Foundation and leveraging the Core blockchain for this. What's the advantage there?
Core Chain's Satoshi Plus consensus mechanism, using delegated proof of work, allows for Bitcoin staking without sacrificing the security of the underlying asset. The staking rewards are earned in Core, then converted to Bitcoin and added to the ETP's NAV daily. This is a clever way to generate yield while maintaining full custodial control of the Bitcoin within a regulated framework.
And this non-custodial, native Bitcoin staking is a key differentiator. It addresses a major concern for institutional investors about security and regulatory compliance. It's also noteworthy that Valour retains full custodial control throughout the entire staking process. That level of transparency and security is going to be crucial for attracting institutional capital.
Exactly. Transparency and security are paramount. This ETP structure offers both, along with the potential for Bitcoin's price appreciation. It's a compelling combination. I'm curious to see how this impacts the broader adoption of Bitcoin and other digital assets by institutional investors.
So Jambo and Lyft3 are teaming up to bring crypto payments to emerging markets. Specifically, they're pre-installing the Lyft3 DeFi app on Jambo phones. This is targeted at regions with large unbanked populations, like Africa, where smartphone penetration is also relatively low.
It's a smart move. They're addressing a real need. Many families in these regions share a single phone, limiting individual access. A low-cost smartphone, like the Jambo phone, combined with a built-in DeFi app, could be a game-changer for financial inclusion.
But isn't this putting the cart before the horse? If internet access is limited and many people are unfamiliar with even basic financial concepts, will they really be able to navigate the complexities of DeFi?
That's the challenge. Education is key. Jambo and Lyft3 are incorporating educational programs and quests to onboard users and help them understand how to use these tools safely. It's a long-term play, but the potential impact is huge.
It's also interesting that they're focusing on crypto payments specifically. Why not just mobile banking or other fintech solutions?
Crypto offers some unique advantages in these markets. It bypasses traditional banking infrastructure, which is often lacking. It can also be more resistant to inflation and currency devaluation, which are often issues in developing economies. Plus, the peer-to-peer nature of crypto facilitates cross-border transactions, which can be crucial for remittances and other international payments.
However, volatility remains a concern. Crypto prices can fluctuate wildly, which could be risky for users in financially precarious situations. It's a delicate balance between opportunity and risk.
Absolutely. It's essential that users understand these risks and use these tools responsibly. This is why the educational component is so important. It's not just about teaching them how to use the technology, but also about fostering financial literacy and responsible money management.
So we've got this new documentary, Money Electric, that dives into the world of Bitcoin. It attempts to explain the tech, the philosophy, the implications, but seems to get sidetracked by the hunt for Satoshi Nakamoto.
It's a common pitfall. The mystery of Satoshi is undeniably intriguing, but focusing too much on it can overshadow the more substantial aspects of Bitcoin and its potential impact.
Exactly. The film touches on important themes like decentralization, financial privacy, and the future of money. These are complex issues with significant global implications, but they're glossed over in favor of this almost obsessive pursuit of Nakamoto's identity.
It's like getting lost in the weeds. The documentary seems to prioritize the who over the why and the how. Understanding the motivations behind Bitcoin's creation and its potential societal impact is far more crucial than unmasking its creator.
It also seems to miss the opportunity to explore the broader implications of cryptocurrency adoption. We see glimpses of El Salvador's experiment and the U.S. government's response, but the analysis lacks depth. What are the long-term consequences of a nation-state adopting Bitcoin? What are the ethical considerations? These questions remain largely unanswered.
The film presents a fascinating, albeit frustrating, paradox. It delves into a highly complex technological and economic phenomenon, yet simplifies it to a whodunit. It's a missed opportunity to provide a truly insightful exploration of Bitcoin's transformative potential.
So moving on from Satoshi's shadow, we have Microsoft potentially facing a shareholder lawsuit over Bitcoin. Ethan Peck from the NCPPR suggests that if Microsoft explicitly decides against investing in Bitcoin after their assessment, and the price subsequently rises, there might be grounds for legal action.
It's a fascinating scenario. It highlights the growing pressure on large corporations to consider Bitcoin as a legitimate asset class. This isn't just about the potential financial gains, but also the risk of being left behind. If Bitcoin continues its upward trajectory, companies that haven't invested could face criticism, and as this case suggests, even legal challenges.
Microsoft's board is recommending a vote against the proposal, claiming they already evaluate Bitcoin as a potential investment. But the NCPPR argues that this isn't enough. They're pushing for a deeper, more public commitment.
It's a strategic move by the NCPPR. Even if the proposal fails, it forces a dialogue and sets the stage for future action. This highlights a growing trend: activist investors using shareholder proposals to push companies towards crypto adoption. It'll be interesting to see how other corporations respond to similar pressures.
Absolutely. This case could set a precedent, influencing how other companies approach Bitcoin and potentially other cryptocurrencies. It underscores the increasing mainstream acceptance of digital assets and the evolving landscape of corporate responsibility.
The comparison with MicroStrategy's Bitcoin strategy, which has significantly outperformed Microsoft, adds another layer to this. It's a compelling argument, albeit a risky one. It raises the question, how much should companies prioritize potential high-return, high-risk assets like Bitcoin?
It's a delicate balancing act. Companies need to consider their risk tolerance, their long-term strategy, and the evolving regulatory environment. This case with Microsoft is just the beginning. We're likely to see more discussions, more debates, and potentially more legal challenges as the crypto market matures. Let's delve into the latest developments with Mt. Gox. The now-defunct exchange has transferred a staggering $2.2 billion worth of Bitcoin, raising concerns about potential market impacts.
This has been a long time coming for creditors. It's a significant development in the 10-year saga of Mt. Gox. While some funds went to individual creditors, a portion was also moved to centralized exchanges like OKX and B2C2, which adds an interesting dimension to this story.
Exactly. the movement to exchanges suggests potential selling pressure, given that creditors now have access to liquid markets. It's a considerable amount of Bitcoin, and the market is understandably reacting.
While the potential for sell pressure exists, it's worth noting that after previous distributions, creditors largely held on to their Bitcoin. This could indicate a long-term perspective on the asset, rather than a rush to sell. Of course, past behavior doesn't guarantee future actions.
That's a crucial point. We'll need to keep a close eye on on-chain metrics to understand how these newly distributed Bitcoins are being used. It's a complex situation with potential ripple effects throughout the market. Thanks for joining us for this important update. That's all the time we have for today. We'll be back next week with more news and analysis from the world of crypto.